once again into this place. Heavenly Father, we come, we ask that you would move and minister, oh God. Lord, we ask that you would come into this place, oh God, as we open wide our heart's doors to receive from you, oh God. Lord, minister tonight in healing and deliverance, oh God. Lord, touch someone tonight with this message, and we thank you. We praise you for it in his wonderful, mighty name. Amen.
I believe we're going to have church tonight, praise God. You know, the Lord has really been speaking to me about something special. When I'm going through a trial, you know, it's hard. But I got to put this flesh under. And when I get it under, the Holy Spirit takes over. Hallelujah. And then therefore, hallelujah, he starts speaking forth. Basically, it stems out of the book of Genesis, chapter 37 through 41. We're not going to read word for word. The message is entitled, From the Pit to the Palace. Hallelujah. We go through trials, we go through tribulations, and we don't realize that these were the actual blessings of God. You may think that financial blessings or a new car is an actual blessings. Yes and no. He'll bless you. But if you don't watch it, you'll get into rest. When in fact, he's trying to get you to move. Hallelujah. If he blesses you with a new car, then that means you're going to travel somewhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that you're going to have an awesome vehicle just to show off and say, hey, I'm the king's son or I'm the king's daughter. No, it's for travel. Hallelujah. It's for use of a sanctuary. And don't you know that if you go to work and you praise God, that our sanctuary is actually the car. Hallelujah. At least it is for me in my life. From the pit to the palace. If you notice, and starting in Genesis chapter 37, hallelujah, I saw no orchestration of the devil whatsoever in that whole entire scripture. From 37 to 41, I'll explain. It was an orchestration of God, flat out. Basically, we're not going to get into it word for word because it'll take too long. But I will, just going through it chapter by chapter, if you want to follow along, I'm going to leave some things out. I'm warning you ahead of time because it has nothing to do with from the pit to the palace. It has nothing to do with the sermon. Hallelujah. Just a warning ahead of time why I'm not going, you know, scripture to scripture. Joseph. When I see Joseph, I see a man of many colors. He had a coat of many colors. Hallelujah. And his father had given it to him. Now he is the 11th son of the 12. And if you notice, all the 12 sons that Jacob was given to by God became the tribe of Israel. Hallelujah. Joseph was the 11th one of all. The 12th was Benjamin. Now, Joseph was given a coat of many colors. There's a representation of that coat. There's many of them. I'll just say one. Favor. Let me tell you something. I believe that the coat of many colors contained the colors of purple, royal blue, and scarlet, probably among others. Why? It's because those are God's favorite colors. The tabernacle was clothed with those colors. Want to know God's favorite colors of metal? Gold, silver, bronze. It was in the tabernacle. And of course, he loved badger skin. The whole tabernacle was filled with badger skins. I don't know why. I didn't ask God. Maybe I should. Hallelujah. So I believe these were just, his coat were of many colors, and those were one of the few colors, I'm sure. Favor. Why did he receive that coat? I'm starting from the very beginning of chapter 37, so bear with me. Hallelujah. Basically, he was obedient to his daddy, Jacob, or in other words, Israel. Hallelujah. Jacob was blessed. I'm just going to go back a little bit. Jacob was blessed because there's a point, and someone's going to be having a shouting fit in a minute, because I know we're going to have church tonight. Hallelujah. I'm just getting warmed up. Basically, Jacob got blessed, and there's a reason for that blessing. If you remember, he took his whole entire family and was moving, and he was traveling. Hallelujah. And not only that, he stayed behind in a tent, because they dwelt in tents in those days. They weren't even in Israel yet. They were still traveling. This was before the bondage and slavery of 450 years in Egypt. Hallelujah. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him. The same angel of the Lord that appeared to Joshua years later. The same angel of the Lord that appeared to Daniel at the brook. Hallelujah. Is the same angel of the Lord that appeared to Balaam when Balaam, the false prophet, was disobedient to God of his commands. He went ahead and was going to travel. Not only that, God had used a mule to speak to Balaam because he was deaf. Spiritually, anyway. And the angel of the Lord stood there with a sword in his hand, is ready to lop his head off because he was disobedient. Hallelujah. That's the same angel of the Lord. And I believe that the same angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he appeared to Jacob. And Jacob and the angel of the Lord started to wrestle. And it went on for hours. And I guarantee you, I can almost see it in the spirit, hallelujah, that Jacob had the angel of the Lord pinned down on the ground. He had him straddled, hallelujah. And he had him by the throat. He says, bless me, O Lord. Bless me. I want to be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the angel of the Lord could not get up. Hallelujah. And you may think that pinning God is impossible. No, it's not. To man, all things are impossible, but to God, all things are. God literally let himself be pinned under Jacob, hallelujah. And he said, bless me. He was stubborn-hearted. He was stubborn-hearted, hallelujah. He wasn't going to give it up. And God, he couldn't get up. So therefore, God had something under his sleeve, if you will, power. Touched his little thigh bone right here to Jacob, either right or left, I don't remember. And just popped it out of the place. A pow! Just pow! Just ripped it to shreds. Guaranteed, Jacob was never the same since. That night forward, God had blessed Jacob because of his perseverance, because of his stubbornness to not give up. And he limped. There's a price to pay for your blessings. Hallelujah. And that's one of the reasons why, hallelujah, that I mention it. Hallelujah. Is because there's a price to pay for our blessings, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I get all excited when I think about it. Hallelujah. I've been to places. And I'd rather limp. I even told the Lord this. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that vision, Lord God. I'd rather limp and be blessed than to have no limp or a price and be just a person. Anyway, so basically, Jacob was called Israel from that night forward. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. Now we're getting back to Joseph. Joseph was obedient to his daddy, Jacob. Israel. That's why he was given that coat of many colors. From that day forward, his older brothers were planning to kill him because they were jealous, envious. They were proud. and said, we're the oldest ones. Why don't we get blessed? Why don't we? And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. One other thing that Jacob had to go through for a blessing, he was almost like a slave. You all remember how he received his wives, Leah and Rachel. Through 7 years of just working to get Rachel, that's all he wanted was Rachel because she was so beloved in his eyes, praise God. But the tables were turned on him when that day came to get married to Rachel. The dad of the two sisters, turned the tables and gave him Leah. He didn't know until the next morning. I ain't going to get into all that. So 7 more years, he had to get Rachel. He wanted nothing but just Rachel. He didn't want anyone else. Hallelujah. So he had to go through a price on that. Why? Because he's a wheel-and-dealer kind of a person. Jacob was back in the day. And so that was like a taste of his own medicine. Now, Joseph and Benjamin was his favorite sons of all because they came through Rachel. And don't you know that what a blessed name, Rachel. I don't remember what it means, but I do know that it has an E-L at the end, which is one of God's names. Elohim Elyon, the Most High God. Hallelujah. Anyways, he paid a price for his blessings. And so he loved his, Joseph because he was obedient. And therefore, he had favor. And so there was that one day where his dad says to the older sons, go out to the greener pastures because we've already used up this land here. Go somewhere else. Okay, we're going. And Joseph and Benjamin stayed behind. And probably next day or two, word of God does not expound it. But Daddy, Israel, Jacob, told Joseph, go and check out what my flock is doing. I want to know my business. You go and just see for yourself and come back and give me word. Why Joseph? Because he knew he'd be obedient. He said, okay, Daddy. And he goes out. And he goes out where he knew that they usually go, but they weren't there. A man appeared out of pretty much thin air and said, what are you looking for? He said, well, my brothers, they're supposed to be in this pasture. They usually are, but they're not here. He says, they're north. Go north. And he went the way he pointed. Now, that man, praise God, at least in my Bible, that man has a capital M. Jesus Christ, who points the way. I'll tell you what, it's the path of righteousness. Hallelujah. So he went. And the reason why the older brothers did not pastor at that particular place, because they wanted to just get rid of Joseph. They didn't want to see him because he had these dreams. And if you remember the dreams, I'm going back now. Remember the dreams of the sheaves. He said, there's 12 sheaves, and all the sheaves bow down to mine. There were stars, and all the stars plus the sun and the moon had bowed down to me. Now, he didn't say that in a proudful way like I'm describing it in that tone of voice. But anyway, and from that day forward, that was the other reason why the older sons had plotted to kill Joseph. Now, as soon as they saw him, he says, oh, here comes that dreamer. And Joseph, just innocent, came up with his coat, of course, because he slept day and night with it. I would too. If I was blessed with something like that, I'll tell you why. A coat like that was worth money. Okay? It's like Jesus' seamless robe. You know Jesus was rich financially. He didn't need, he didn't need Judas to handle his finances. He already had it well taken care of. He had a house. Even had his disciples come and stay with him for a couple days. So he was blessed. He was rich. And so was Joseph. Hallelujah. Rich in physically and rich in spirit. Hallelujah. He was pure. And now I'm going to speed it up now. Basically, when he came to, they ripped the garment off of him because they said in their hearts, let's kill him, let's get rid of him, throw him in the cistern, and be done with him. And one of the older brothers, the firstborn actually, who was actually cursed because he defiled his father's bed, with Bilhah, Jacob's, one of Jacob's wives. And that's pretty much bad. But he had a revelation. He says, "Don't, let's not lay a hand on him, because we'll be cursed if we do. He's our flesh and blood, and bone with bone. Let's not do this thing. This is bad." And so they considered it, and they just threw him in the cistern. Now the Midianite raiders came, and they said, "You know, he's worth more alive than dead. We'll just sell him. And then we will just go back to our father and say, hey, you know, this is what happened. We just found this cloak, and he's dead." And they did. Sold him to the Midianite raiders. Now the Midianite raiders, they travel from their country, and they go from there to Egypt to buy, sell, and trade. And not only that, they're raiders. They kill people for a living, just for some income on their own, on the side. It's because the trading business wasn't enough in cash-wise. And so, therefore, they took him to Egypt. Hallelujah. Notice, Joseph started in the pit. And with that favor of God, he was blessed even in Egypt. He was a slave. He was 17 years old when he went to Egypt. He was 30 years old by the time he was so blessed. Oh, I'm just getting ahead of myself. But anyway, so there's a couple of years gone by, and Potiphar had noticed such a favor. And so did his wife, if you know the story. Anyway, hallelujah. He goes, and he's actually the master of the house while Potiphar is gone. Potiphar, I'm just going to give a little background of him. He's an ambassador. He's the second, he's like the vice president. If America was Egypt, he'd be vice president, and Pharaoh would be president. Okay? That's basically Potiphar, a vice president. He was an ambassador. He went out to different countries and nations to do the business for Pharaoh. While Pharaoh would go and rule his land. Now, Potiphar had made Joseph a master of his house while he was gone. He was trusted. Hallelujah. He knew how to do business, and he does it well. He learned it from his dad. Hallelujah. Anyway, therefore, one day, his wife came into the midst and tried to get him, and I'll say this in short, tried to get Joseph to sin. She had his garments in his hand, and he just ran out just naked, and wow, just went out. He was running away from sin. Hallelujah. And so she had tried to cover it up, her sins, by yelling out, "He raped me." Potiphar got upset. I don't know, the Word of God doesn't say this, but I can only imagine that Potiphar had a pride factor in his heart. I don't think he was just angry because the simple fact is that Joseph would do some such things. Because Potiphar knew him for a couple years now, that Potiphar knew that Joseph wouldn't do such things. Especially in his own household. Especially ever. Okay. Potiphar, I'm sure he was thinking in his mind, I don't know, I'm not adding to the Word, but God has given such an imagination, hallelujah, to man. Just think of it. You're the vice president, and you're supposed to be the master of your house to take care of household business. In the eyes of Egypt, what would you look like? Saying, if I don't put Joseph in jail, therefore I'll be weak in the sight of Egypt. But he can't really get to say either that he doesn't trust his wife. That's kind of hard. Harsh. I don't know. I just kind of like to get into the anatomy of people in the Word of God. Hallelujah. But nonetheless, he threw Joseph in jail, and favor followed. He was in jail for a while. I'm sure Joseph was saying, like Jesus had said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he would just look at his circumstances without looking up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he thought he was in the pit. So he went from the cistern to Potiphar's house, the palace. He went from the pit to the palace. Went back to the pit. And I'm sure Joseph couldn't even understand it then. In the end, I'm sure he looked back, saw the full picture, and just laughed. My God, that's why you did all these things. Hallelujah. I'm getting ahead of myself again. I just want to get back in there. Hallelujah. So he's in jail. All of a sudden, the baker, about a few years later, the baker and the cupbearer appears. God was dealing with them. Gave him a dream. I'm not going to get into the dreams, but I will say the interpretations of what Joseph had said, that God has said to Joseph. He said, because they were, you know, they were led, they were sad. And Joseph just entered the scene and said, what's up? Oh, we just had this vision. We don't have an interpreter. Well, tell me the dream. So the butler started. So this is what happened. He says, you will be restored. In 3 days, you will be restored to your position. And so the baker thought, hey, you know, my dream is very similar too. You know, maybe I'll have a blessing or two. Praise God. So he was compelled to speak his dream. And then Joseph says, in 3 days, your head will be lifted off and be impaled. You know, you will die in 3 days. And sure enough, it happened just as is. When he said that to the butler or a cupbearer, the same name, same title, he said, Joseph said, don't ever forget me. Tell Pharaoh about me when you were restored. And of course, you know, he forgot. He just plain forgot. God, hallelujah, our deliverer, had given Pharaoh a dream. And he could not sleep, tossing and turning night after night. If you know what it's like to be a ruler of a nation who can't sleep, you cannot rule your country well. You will fumble and you will fall and you'll be crushed. Sleep was one of the important things, especially in Egypt. They had an abundance of. His wife would sleep 14 hours a day. The Word of God says so. Isn't that amazing? 14 hours a day. My God, that's half the day right there. Abundance. They were in abundance. Just like America. We're in abundance. Hallelujah. Anyway, just want to interject that. And basically, God was working once again behind the scenes. I don't see the devil in this at all. Hallelujah. I always thought, well, the devil's just doing this and he's doing that. No, God is orchestrating it for a reason. I'm going to get to that. Just be patient with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Pharaoh had called all of his magicians, called all of his astrologers, called all of his psychics, all of his cronies, practically, and they could interpret his dream. So the butler said, ha, had a light bulb on. Bing! God, I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. Cupbearer wasn't even a believer of the Lord. And God had no problem to speak to him, reminding him. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He's our reminder. Hallelujah. He even speaks to the unbelievers. Nothing's impossible with God. Anyway, so the cupbearer told Pharaoh about it, about Joseph. He says, well, bring him in. Now, this is quite amazing and interesting about their culture. The one thing that you have to be cleansed. You have to be clean to stand before Pharaoh. Hallelujah. How much more is it to God when we come into his presence that we must be cleansed? And the Word of God says that they took him and they bathed him and they oiled him and they lotioned him. They pampered him to get into the presence of Pharaoh. And yet, he's not God. Hallelujah. But God is creator of heaven and earth and the seas and everything in it. And so the Pharaoh said, I can't sleep. Tell me the interpretation. I tell you this dream. And he told the dream. It had to do with fat cows and sickly, gaunt-looking cows. Hallelujah. There were 7 of them each. I mean, the sickly, gaunt-looking ones, the pathetic ones, the anorexic ones, would eat up the fattened cows, and you would think they would get all plump and fat, but they didn't. He was disturbed. And Joseph said, oh, that's simple. 7 years, because of 7 cows, the fat ones, it's going to be 7 years of plenty. They're one of the same. dream. But the sleek, the gaunt-looking, the pathetic-looking, we're going to be 7 years of famine. And I bet you if Pharaoh had a shout and fed, my, woohoo, hallelujah. I know the interpretation. But then reality hit him and says, whoa, what are we going to do? We got 7 years. We have no time to prepare. It's going to happen now. And he could not think of, and I bet you it took an hour or two. Pharaoh just totally blank stare. Joseph is still standing there, probably yawning. Then, can I have some grapes around here or something? I'm kind of thirsty. I'm kind of hungry. And Pharaoh says, nope, can't do that. There's no one in all Egypt that could do and prepare us for the 7 year of famine. Therefore, you, Joseph, you seem to be the different one. You are different. In fact, we serve many gods, but you only serve one. And I see a lot of favor in you. Therefore, I will put you under me. Here's Pharaoh, Potiphar, and Joseph was way down here in the pit. Now, Potiphar had moved third, and Joseph was placed in second. Hallelujah. Why? Because he went to the pit, to the palace. Hallelujah. What's my point? I'm going to stop it right there, because if I go any further, I'm going to go into another sermon of unforgiveness and forgiveness. I'm not going to go there. I went there a couple of years ago, preached on that. God's kingdom, hallelujah, is progressive. Hallelujah. And basically, went from the pit to the palace. Why did he have to go there to get to the palace? I will tell you why. I have already explained and described that God orchestrated it all. So when you go through the pit, remember, God had orchestrated it. It's to spin us on a wheel, if you will. And we're spinning, stretching us, stretching our faith, hallelujah. Putting in such a way that we get to only trust in Him, to lean on Him, hallelujah. He's our deliverer, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's to bear fruit in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. On this earth. Because the kingdom of God is progressive. We have to take it by force in the name of Jesus. Gah! Gah! Hallelujah. Never forget. Never forget this. This is very important. Your pit can be someone's palace. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something. Hallelujah. My God. You're an awesome God, Lord. Hallelujah. Your pit can be someone else's palace. I'm going to tell you a personal testimony. At work, I was floored. My jaw was literally hanging to the floor and I was just standing up. My God, I couldn't believe it. A woman came up to me at work. She works at the HR department. She took me aside. Says, I know you're a godly man. I know you pray. I know you get into the Word because I hear you preaching the Word. I hear you quoting scriptures here and there. I want you to do is just pray for me. I said, okay. I was about to leave, but then the Holy Spirit stopped me and says, you know what? You should listen to what she has to say. She's not done. I was like, oh, good. Listening to someone can be a ministry. Hallelujah. And so the more I started listening to her, the more I started at first hearing that she's away from God, Christ. She believes in Jesus Christ. I tested her spirit. She believes that He came into this world by a virgin birth, died for our sins, risen from the dead on the third day. And if anyone believes in Him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. She believes that. But she doesn't have a relationship close enough. But then the Holy Spirit says, that's not just the point. There's more. Keep listening. I'm listening. And even 6 months later, I'm still listening. And I guarantee you, my pit that I went through was the exact same place she was at. I finally figured out, I said, my God, I couldn't understand why I had to go through some stuff in my marriage. I couldn't understand if Jesus is our provider, if God Almighty is our deliverer, if He's our daddy, our provider, hallelujah, there's nothing impossible in Him. I couldn't understand it. He took me through places because people are going to go there. And God will always orchestrate you into the scene. Not that because it's about you or me, but it's about God. And He cares for His children. He cares for His flock. Hallelujah. And that's why we go through some stuff, so we can minister to others effectively. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's get into the Word of God now. Are you all having church tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter. Or like the English people say it, 1 Peter. When I started to watch that movie, I've read pretty much the whole Chronicles of Narnia, all 7 books. When I went to go see the film, you know, that kind of rubbed off on me. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7. We'll start in verse 6, actually. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. And you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. What is God doing in trials and tribulations? He's giving it to us so we can grow, mature, to be used in God's kingdom for ministry. For His kingdom. And look what it says in verse 7. I will say it again. You have to suffer and grieve. And don't you know we do, because Jesus did. What makes us higher and more great than He? See what I'm saying? He suffered. Why can't we? God, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's to result in one thing. Actually, a couple of things, but one thing here. Hallelujah. So now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. All kinds. And He talks about the refining fire. That you be proved. If you just stay steadfast. Persevere. And when you do, maybe prove genuine your faith and your relationship with Christ. And may result in praise, glory, and honor. That's one of the points. One thing that He likes to take us through to wake us up, God Almighty, El Shaddai, and El Shaddai. When you're not focused on Him, He lets you go for a little while. And when you're too comfortable in your situation, He will get your attention one way or another. Hebrews chapter 12 explains this. We're not illegitimate children of God. We're legitimate children, and He has to correct us. That's a blessing. He has to discipline us. That's a blessing. He has to get our attention some way or another. God Almighty, and the pastor can witness this. A couple of weeks ago, I was going through a trial. I was disobedient. I'm not afraid to say that. I'll be exposed. I don't care. God's going to expose me one way or another. Praise God. I sinned. It's not what I did, even though that's part of it. It's what I did not do. Matthew chapter 4 describes that Jesus in the wilderness, he was obedient to his Father. He did not give in to the temptations. Notice the temptations that Jesus had to go through. Casting stone into bread. My God, if I could do that, hallelujah, that'd be awesome. But Jesus is like, there's no big thing. No big deal. Now, my temptations wasn't casting a stone into bread. And I'm not going to say that either, what it was. But I will say this. I fessed up the hour that I did. I knew that what I did was wrong. Not only that, I wasn't praying. I became weak and subject to the devil. I became a slave for a short moment. But God wouldn't allow that any further because he is a, how shall I say it? A God that's very victorious. And Jesus said this in his word, that I'm not willing to give anyone up out of my hands. Hallelujah! I'm not willing to give you up. Note this, backsliders. Not saying anyone in here is. I don't sense that. But if there's someone listening outside this window, hallelujah, God orchestrates in strange ways, you know, like in Joseph. God is not willing to give the backsliders up. Not willing. And so therefore, what God did to get my attention just gave me a smack. Wham! I needed that. I needed to wake up. Hallelujah. You can literally tell when someone's going through something. I guarantee you, and even the people at work can vouch for this, I was a mule. That's in a more cleaner way of saying things. I was a mule to my coworkers. Why? Because when I sinned, when I fell short of the glory of God, and even when I fessed up, the glory of the Lord had departed. I realized a week, I was scared. I was literally scared. I thought, Lord, when will you ever come back? Was I like the Apostle Peter? Did I deny you? I did. I wept bitterly. Hallelujah. I wept bitterly, just like disciple Peter did. I'm not saying I went through the exact same thing he did, but I had a taste of what it was like for Jesus to not be there in you. He will depart if you're not obedient. That was his orchestration. I didn't understand it then. I understand it now because I became a better person. Let me get this. Hallelujah. That Wednesday, I said, Lord, I'm not going to do one darn thing for you. I'm not going to. I was being real to God. Hallelujah. And I learned some stuff. One thing he taught me. I heard in my bitterness, in the spirit, God. When you know God's voice, because the Word of God says that the sheep knows his voice. Not just the sound of his voice, but what he says. And the convictions of the Holy Spirit. He said this to me. I don't need you. I was like, oh. He said, I don't need you. Remember what I said in the Old Testament? Why did I make man who will not follow after me? Why did I make him? Man, I'm sure he was so tempted and tested to destroy it all. Says, you know what? I'm not going to do this ever again. I made a mistake. I screwed up. Me, God. You know, God was saying, I'm sure. But he stuck in there. He says, you know what? I believe in my creation. And I'm going to bring my son to the, you know, to the cross. And we'll have redemption so they can all come with me and be with me. He said, I don't need you. When he said that, I saw in my heart a wall of pride. I started to think, I'm a vessel and I'm a tool for God. I'm it. There's no one in the village who is obedient. There's no one in the village that will preach. And I guarantee you, the people that I work with are believers. I've tested them. I said, I don't need you. I don't need the church. I don't need preachers. I don't need prophets. He says this. I was like stunned. I was shocked. But it was such the truth. And I heard God say this, but there's a difference between I don't need you, but I want you. I want the church. I want the pastors. I want the preachers. I want the evangelists and the teachers and the prophets. I want the backsliders. I want the sinners. I want the murderers and the prostitutes. I want them all for my kingdom. Hallelujah. I want them all because I am not rich without my creation. That's what God said. I said, Lord, I'm not going to still do anything for you. If you want me, you know where to find me. I was being real to God. I have a real relationship with God. I can speak to him in ways where he'll allow. Maybe to another person, he may not allow. He might just give him that spanking. Bam. I am God Jehovah. Don't you ever forget that. You know, kind of thing, right? He's our daddy. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, you know where to find me. I'm the lost one. You're not. Hallelujah. People have to get that straight when we're preaching the gospel on the streets. Oh, I found Jesus. He wasn't lost. You were. My God. You were lost. And he found you. Found you in a pit. Guaranteed, we're sheep. We low in a pit. Pit to the palace. Hallelujah. I'm going to start to close. I know we've taken a little too long. I'm sure you're quite sleepy and tired. But this is such a revelation that God has given me. I have to preach it fully. If you just bear with me, I got to be obedient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He stirs you up into faithfulness to God. He stirs you up. And I remember, I said, Lord, I had it in my mind. I didn't speak it out loud because the enemy can do that. Can do some stuff. And I had this song in my head. I listened to Family Life Radio at work, 91.5. That's a little plug for them. Hallelujah. Anyway, I had this song, and I call it the Resurrection Song. I don't know who sings it. I don't know what it's called. I said, Lord, if you want me, because I had to have some reassurance. If you want me, then play that song on the radio. To man, this is impossible. You know, I refused the pastor to lay hands on me. Because I'll tell you why. It's because I knew for a fact that, you know, when you're in such a trial and tribulation, the laying on of hands will not cure your situation. You've got to let God be God in everything. And, but I just said, okay, Lord, I'll just play it on. And I did. I felt a little better. Praise God. The breakthrough happened. But I was still going through some stuff. 12 o'clock rolls around. I'm not just trying to be all anticipated and all this now. I'll try to be a speedy. 3 o'clock rolls around. 4 o'clock rolls around. At 4:12 exactly. 4 plus 2 plus 1 equals 7. Perfection. At 4:12, God had played that song. My God. I knew from then forth that all things were going to be all right. I said, God, I'm learning some stuff here. Therefore, keep me in this situation. I want to be in the pit because I know that you're going to produce something in me. As soon as I said that, he took me out of it. I'm like, why? He says, because you learned the things that I had to teach you. I had to shut you up because God said in his word, shut up and know that I'm God. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, skin to the book of Romans. This is my last scripture. We're closing.
Hallelujah. I can see some people already yawning. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm so sorry. I'm like the Apostle Paul. A boy was sitting on the windowsill. Paul was preaching hours on end and wouldn't shut up. And that boy fell out of the window because he fell asleep. My God. He had to rush down, lay his whole body on the boy, and say, Lord, resurrect this child from the dead in the name of Jesus. And he had to rise because of the Apostle Paul. God had favor with Apostle Paul. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Going to another translation. What I've just translated from is the NIV, the New International Version. I'm now switching to the New King James Version. I like to do that. When the word speaks to me in certain ways, I just read it from there. Romans chapter 5, we're going to start quickly. We'll do that. Verse 1 instead. It says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, now remember what we read earlier, trials and tribulations produces faith, strengthens faith. So from here, it's almost like a continuation, but going backwards, of the Apostle Paul's teachings. The Apostle Peter had spoken the last time. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. He's also talking about salvation, by the way, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope and in the glory of God. Don't you know in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12, I'm not sure, chapter 11, that you cannot please God without faith. That's why God has to take you through some stuff to strengthen your faith so you can please Him. Hallelujah. And in verse 3 it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Notice that word, perseverance. Perseverance, in other words, also means, kind of represents patience. Long-suffering, enduring. Hallelujah. From perseverance to character, and the character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hallelujah. Notice that again. That tribulations produces perseverance, endurance, and not just enduring, going through the motions, but teaching you to be stubborn, to stay stubborn in the things of God. When you go and pray, perseverance is the key to God. This is something He's taught me, because that time when God was orchestrating my tribulation, God spoken through the pastor about praying more. I'll never forget that. I'll always say, my God, that what changed my life. I got into prayer, and when I got into prayer and been obedient, God had taught me, now be stubborn hearted for what you pray for. Don't give it up until I do it. You don't know when I will, but I will. Because it's your faith that pleases me. And it's my utterance through you to reach my throne. Because the Holy Spirit will give us the utterance of speech, what we ought to pray for. Don't give up. Trials and tribulations, don't give it up. Be stubborn about it. Say, devil, I don't care what you put against me. I know my God is victorious. I know He will see me through. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm not going to give this up. I'm going to stay in it. I'm going to persevere because I know a blessing is coming. Amen. There's a point to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, even self-control. Yeah. Take that, devil. Get so excited. That's the point of trials and tribulations. The pit to the palace. It's not just for you. It's for someone else that I've mentioned before. Oh my gosh. Joseph, I'll say this, is the type of Christ. He went through the pit to get to the palace. Jesus Christ went through the pit, the cross, to save all humankind. Because we are nothing but filthy rags. And there had to have been a blood sacrifice for our sins, transgressions, and iniquities. And what happened? When he rose from the dead, he went to the palace. And he's at rest. Hallelujah. He went to the pit, to the palace. Joseph went to the pit, to the palace. We go through the pit to get to the palace. Because our goal is salvation in heaven for eternity. Hallelujah. That's the point. To produce on earth for God's kingdom. So we can bring others to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We have to go through some stuff. That the alabaster box that woman had with the oil and perfume in it. Hallelujah. What did she have to do in order for the oil to go out on Jesus' feet? What did it have to be done? You guys remember? Had to break it. Had to crush it. To get the oil out from the box unto Jesus' feet. To prepare him for burial. Jesus had to die on the cross. Because the Holy Spirit was in him. He had to have been broken and raised from the dead and to ascend into heaven. If he didn't do this, we wouldn't have the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. It's like the alabaster box. It's like the rose petal. In order to get that perfume, you had to crush that petal to get the perfume. It's like a grape. You had to crush the grape to get the wine. Jesus was crushed like a grape to give us new wine. Hallelujah. He went through the trials. Job went through the trials just like Joseph. Notice all the things that Job asked for of God. God had not once answered any of his questions. He doesn't have to. God doesn't have to. But he was speaking to him, said, I am God. Just trust me. Did you create the waters? Did you lay the foundations? Did you make the stars that you see? Are you a this and a bag of chips? No. I am the great I am, said, Lord Jesus Christ. We got to go through the tribulations, got to go through the trials, because it produces in us a fragrance to God. It produces in us the work that we must do for God that builds character. That's the reason why for the trials and tribulations. Never forget this. Never forget this. I love going through trials and tribulations. Those are the blessings because of being cleansed. You're being washed. Hallelujah. I had a weirdest dream last night. I was in a room with a couple of people I've never met. In a room I've never been in. But it had a whole bunch of windows and doors. Weird. Had a bed and everything. It had all the furnishings. All of a sudden I heard apartment kind of suck in. And I was, it's trying to suck in. I was like, what the heck? I looked out a window. There was a tornado outside. I was saying in my mind, why is there a tornado in New Mexico? My God, I was scared. And this person that I never met before, they said, open up the windows, quick, open up the windows. I was like, why? You know, I was already ducked under covers, man. I was on the second story, I was in the upper room. Kind of weird. You know, how vulnerable are you when you're in a tornado in an upper room? It'll just suck you right out. And so it says, because it will create a vacuum. And it will just tear this place to shreds. I started opening up windows, all the doors, and everything else. And I heard it. And I saw it go away. And it started coming back. I woke up at that moment. I said, my God, what's that about? It says, remember what Brendan Walsh had said. A mighty wind is coming from the north to the south. It came from the north. It wrapped around down and went back. And it was coming back from the south. Hallelujah. There's a big awakening that's going to come like never before. That's why there's going to be more trials and tribulations like never before. To get us ready, not just for the kingdom, but to get others ready and open-eyed. Hallelujah. And I thought for a minute, well, what does that have to do with opening up anything? He says, open up yourself a house, a temple. Open yourselves to Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God to learn all you need to learn, because their time is short and the devil's time is shorter. I see God moving like never before, but I also see the devil moving just as quick as he is. It's almost like God's, you know, just going before. And the devil's just this little puny little ant, just kind of like, you know, following him step by step. And these last days, I see it in the spirit.